Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today I bought a new car. Okay, I've been mentioning for a while that I wanted to buy a new car, and I mentioned a while back that I was a little disappointed in how the sales at car dealerships go these days. And you know, I talk to people all day long about their car buying experiences and their warranty repair experiences and so on. But the car buying experience in particular is just something very, very ugly. And many people are scared of it, and rightly so. And, you know, I came to the conclusion a long time ago, and I've been doing lemon law cases now for 28 years, where I've been talking to people about their car buying experiences. And I came to the conclusion a long time ago that there's a certain percentage of car sellers out there, the actual car dealers, but the people that you interface with when you're buying a car, who don't care if you ever come back, meaning they don't want repeat business. They don't care about repeat business. They're going to try to maximize their profit out of you today, and that's all they care about. They're going to squeeze every last penny out of you, and if you hate them when you walk off the lot, they don't care. And this is evident because I've seen it. I've heard so many accounts of things that salespeople do. And then I've also noticed that the turnover rate at a lot of car dealerships is quite high, meaning that there's a person who works at one dealership, and a week later, they're down the street. A month later, they're down the road. And you know, so it makes me wonder about exactly what goes on. But as I've talked to various people in this field about this, you know, one of the things that is obvious is that this must work because so many dealers do this and use this business model that it must work. But out there are good car dealers and there's good car sellers. And I was starting to lose faith. And the other day I was talking about how I had stood on a Ford lot, the closest Ford dealer to my house. I stood on the lot and told a salesman, I want to buy an Explorer brand new. And he walked away from me because he was a used car salesman. And he was trying to sell the person I was shopping with a used car. And I was joking about how there were brand new car salesmen within eyesight. And nobody made any indication to them that, hey, we got a live guy down here, a live one down here, wants to buy a, you know, brand new Ford Explorer. So, you know, and I understand the rationale behind that. I've had a lot of explanations for it, and I believe them all. But there's something wrong with that model on some level. So the funny thing is that after complaining about this in two or three videos, I got a note from a gentleman yesterday who I hope he doesn't mind, but I know that his first name is Curtis. And Curtis sent me a comment underneath one of my videos. And he said, hey, Steve, are you serious about wanting to buy a brand new car right now? And I jokingly said in my last video, I'll drive to Pinconning if I have to, or I'll drive to, you know, someplace out in the middle of nowhere just to get, you know, somebody who I'm hoping will not try to, you know, rob me like that. And he said, well, I know a guy, you know, and he goes, here's his name and here's the dealership he's at. Now, the dealership he's at is about 1 hour from my house. It's an hour drive, but it's actually in a town I'm familiar with. I've been in the court there many times. And so I was familiar with the area. I've been through the town many, many times, but it's an hour away. And I said, okay, you know, it's worth a shot. I said I wanted to drive far. Let's test that theory. So I found his friend's email address on their website. And I sent him a note that literally said, I want to buy an Explorer. I should have said new Explorer. I want to buy a new Explorer. Call me. That's all I wrote. He called me. And he said, hey, Steve, you want to buy a car? I said, yeah, absolutely. He said, have you seen our inventory? And I said, yeah, I have. I glanced at it a little bit. He goes, you see anything you like? And I said, well, you know, I'm poking around here. And he pulls it up while we're talking. He goes, you know, you're looking for a new Explorer, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, any particular color, any particular packages or anything in particular that you want or don't want? And I said, well, I'd like four-wheel drive because I know they're available two-wheel. And I said, but, you know, quite frankly, beyond that, I said, just, you know, I'm poking around. There's a couple of colors I didn't like and a couple of colors that I did like. And I was kind of surprised they've got a red color that I like. It's a metallic, deeper red. And I had a red Explorer back in the day, bright red, but this is a little darker than that. And I said, but, you know, I actually kind of like that red. I've seen them in traffic, and I like that red. And he goes, well, we got two or three that color, four-wheel drive, of course. And he said, but, you know, here's the thing. And he goes, look at this number. And he gave me the stock number of one. And I looked it up. And I said, yeah, I'm looking at it. And he goes, how's that one look? And I'm reading all the descriptions. I go, you know, that one looks pretty good to me. And he goes, okay, when do you want to come out and drive it? I said, how about right now? And he goes, okay, how fast can you get here? So, like I said, about an hour. And I show up at the dealership and I walk in. And I meet the guy, and he seems like a nice enough guy. And we're making small talk, and he goes, you know, how do you know Curtis? I said, I don't. He's just a guy on the internet who suggested I call you. He goes, oh, okay, cool. That's good to know. And while we were talking, it came out that he'd been working in the industry for over 20 years at that dealer. He's been at one dealer for over 20 years. I think like 28 or 29 years. He's been selling cars as long as I've been an attorney. It's a long time, my friends. And you don't get to sell cars for that length of time at one dealer without doing something right. And I quickly discovered what it was. He didn't try to hard sell me on anything. He didn't try to rip me off. I told him going in, I'm A-Plan. And in case I had several people ask me this, if you don't know this, A-Plan is a nickname for Ford's employee purchase plan. And so if you are a Ford employee or you're related to one, you can get A-Plan if the person who is affiliated with Ford is willing to give you the privilege. And so I've got a brother who used to work at Ford. He's retired now. So I guess it's Z-Plan, but it's the same thing. And I called him up, said, hey, want to buy another Explorer? It's been it's been a long time since I bought the last one. And he said, great. And so we did that. And so when I walked into the dealership, I told him I'm A-Plan, meaning he's not going to make as much money on me because the sale price to me is fixed. It's a fixed price. Now, I know people out there who say, Steve, how do you know you're not getting ripped off? Because A-Plan is a certain discount below dealer invoice. But I've actually talked to guys, including my good friend Tom McParland, about, he goes and negotiates car buys for people. And he'll actually say, what are you looking for? I'll go find you that car at the best deal I can find you. And he shops around. He knows all the tricks. And I asked him, I said, by the way, I said, I have the opportunity to buy a new Ford Explorer A-Plan. I said, is that the way to go or should I? And he goes, no. He goes, that's, trust me. He goes, that's the best deal you can get right there. So I trust Tom. So I told Paul, my salesman, I said, look, I said, I'm A-Plan. So, you know, and I know I've dealt before with different dealerships who, when you tell them you're A-Plan, you can see them like, ah, because they realize they can't charge you as much as they like. And so he said, oh, that's not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. And I said, you know, okay, let's go for a test drive. So he Xeroxes my driver's license and he goes, oh, here you go. And he hands me the keys and he goes, you walked by it on the way in, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, take it for a drive. Now, I understand it's not uncommon for car dealers to let you take a car for a drive without them in the car. I've done the whole thing. I've had it before where in some states, they actually insist that they drive you off the lot and then you change out in a parking lot or something. Very, very strange. Change who's driver, not change your clothes. And so I took it for a drive and I thought, hey, I like this car. And you know, it's going to be culture shock for me. I'm going from a vehicle that has a cassette deck in it to a vehicle that talks to me. I'm worried it might nag me in my sleep. I don't know. So anyways, I took it for a drive, came back and I said, I like it. You know, what can we do? And he said, let's do numbers. And he goes, you're A-Plan. So here's your number. You want a license plate, obviously. Do you want to, are you going to trade in your vehicle? I said, nope. I'm keeping my old vehicle. It still runs. I'm going to keep it. He's okay. So you're going to need a new plate, taxes required by Uncle Sam. There's a, you know, documentation fee. There's a electronic filing fee for the title, things like that. He goes, transfer your insurance or add this to your policy. I said, yeah. And we're sitting there and all of a sudden it dawned on me that, how do I get to the dealership tomorrow? And I'm thinking, who am I going to call? Cause I got to call someone to come to my place and then take me to the dealer. And Paul says, well, Steve, he goes, when do you want to pick the car up? And I said, well, you know, I have a little tiny bit of an issue. I got to work something out with a ride. And he goes, no, you don't. I'll have someone pick you up. And I go, you do know where I live, right? And he goes, yeah, not a problem. And he goes, what time do you want to get picked up tomorrow? I said, 10 a.m. He's okay. There'll be a car in your driveway tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to bring you to the dealership. Again, I understand this is not cutting edge science here. But the point is that anytime I simply mentioned having a need, he just, oh, I can take care of that. I can take care of that for you. And for instance, I said, you know, am I going to get one of those little paper plates for the back of my truck? And then I'm going to get the real plate in the mail. And he goes, no, I took care of that for you. And he walks in, he's got a metal plate for me. Again, I understand. It's not earth shattering, but it's just everything's taken care of, you know? And so I came in this morning after the driver came out and picked me up, takes me to the dealership. I walk in, hey, how you doing, Steve? You know? So we're making small talk and he's got a whole mountain of paper in front of him, which is to be expected. And I mean, I can explain to you what they all were, but you don't need to hear that. And so we're sitting at a desk in a cubicle you know, near the sales floor. And I'm expecting him to say, okay, now let's go into the other room where the other thugs will get at you. Because every time I bought a car in the past, I have never, never had a dealership sell me a brand new car where I only talked to one person. I've always been handed off to another person, the finance guy, or the options guy, or the extended service plan guy. There's always somebody else who comes in and says, okay, you know, Jerry told me that you're getting ready to buy this vehicle here. It's brand new. It's a big investment, but you really need to buy the extended service plan. And I mean, I've had dealerships trying to sell me third-party extended service plans on big three cars. So that when I'm buying a Ford, they're trying to sell me like Bob's Warranty Shack extended service plan. I'm like, can't I buy an extended service plan, an ESP from Ford through you? And they lean and they go, that's too expensive. You want to save some money. You want to go to Bob's Warranty Shack. No. I've also had them pull the thing where they go, when I say, no, I don't want to buy that, they go, you understand how much it costs to replace a transmission? I go, yeah, but the vehicle I'm buying is brand new. It doesn't need a new transmission. They say, yeah, but if you, I'm like, stop bad-mouthing the product I'm buying from you, okay? So I've actually had that guy leave and someone else come in to pitch me on the gap insurance. I'm surprised that I mentioned before there's a dealership in Michigan that pinstripes every car on their lot and they charge you for that pinstripe whether you want it or not. And I said, can I special order the car without the pinstripe? They said, no, we pinstripe them all. And at the time, they only charged $75 for the pinstripe. I've heard it's gone up since then. And the fact that General Motors allows the dealership to do that is another reason that the car industry's got problems. The fact that the manufacturers can exert almost no control over dealerships that move a lot of cars. But back to the Ford dealer. So I say to Paul, I say, well, you know, mountain of paperwork, are we going to do it right here at your desk or conference room or what? And he goes, we can do it here. And he thought I was insulting his desk. I said, no, I'm just so used to having this whole transaction get picked up and put in another room. And so then I'm expecting this onslaught of people coming in trying to sell me stuff. And I'm not saying every dealer's like that, but I've bought enough cars to know that that's standard operating procedure for a lot of car dealers. So he starts saying, okay, you know, here you are. Here's your purchase agreement. Here's your retail installment sales contract. Here's your application for title. Here's the thing where you're, you know, buying this and you're declining this and boom, 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 boom. And here's the thing that you are signing that you are, in fact, taking delivery of this car yourself because it's an employee purchase. And you're acknowledging that you are getting this car with that discount and exchange, blah, 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 everything under the sun. And we're going through all this stuff, and 5 minutes later, we're done. And again, I was actually banking on spending a couple hours at the dealership, both filling out documents and fending off stupid arguments. Not from him, but from other people. Because I've had salespeople actually say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what happened to you. Because I bought a car years and years and years ago. And I agreed to buy the car, and I'd already signed the purchase agreement. And then got into like basically an arm wrestling match with two people back in the conference room who were trying to sell me nonsense, just garbage. And as I was walking out, I went and found the salesman. I said, dude, just so you know, if I could unwind this deal right now, I would. I love the car. I like you. I hate those people back there. I didn't use the word people. But I hate those people back there. I will never come to this dealership again. If you're still here, I'll never buy another car from you again because unfortunately, you got to work with those people. And I suspect they're higher up in the food chain than you are. And he goes, yep, they are. And so I said, well, I'm just telling you, you know. So take that for what it's worth. But the point is that I show up at the dealership at 11 o'clock this morning. And at noon, we're sitting out in the car with a metal plate in the back. Again. I find joy in the smallest things in life. And we're going through all the different things I can figure out on the infotainment center. I've now got one. And all the other stuff on this vehicle. And it's going to take me a while to get used to it. It's going to be culture shock. But it's cool. And I got to drive it home. And right now it's in my garage with under 100 miles on the clock. I'm actually going to see what I can do to see how long I can stretch that out where I can keep that in double digits. But I got to go back to something on this. And yesterday when I was at Paul's desk And I've only known him for an hour. And I said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. And he said, okay, great. Car in your driveway at 10 o'clock in the morning to bring you here. And I said, should we sign something? And he looked at me. And you know, he knows what I'm asking. But he also recognizes that I'm not getting the point. And he looks at me and he goes, why? And he knows I'm an attorney. I said, well, you know, in the past, I've always signed a purchase agreement. I put money down. I go, do you want some money down? He goes, no, bring it tomorrow. I go, okay. I go, not signed. He goes, we can shake hands. So we shook hands. And we shook hands, and I knew the car would be there this morning, and the price would work out. Everything would be the same. And he knew I was coming in this morning to buy a car. And that, my friends, is how you sell cars in America. And if you don't want Tesla eating your lunch, as we say, you really need to, if you're a car dealer, ask yourself how many of your car dealers are selling cars like they want to be there 20 years from today or 10 years from today? Or are they actually selling cars like they're going to get someone on the lot and they're going to ring them until they've got every last penny out of them, and they don't care if that person ever comes back? Because, and I'm not trying to give you lectures on business, you know, take it or leave it, but the point is that they talk about personal relationships, building relationships with people. Curtis, the man who suggested I call Paul. I asked Paul, I said, by the way, how'd you meet Curtis? And he's, oh, one day he was working on something across the street and he looked over here and saw a car he liked. Came over, looked at the car. I walked out to help him. Next thing I know, he buys the car. Since then, he's bought more cars from me and he sent people to me. And that is how you'd like to run a business, I would think, because you'd say, do you know anybody who sells cars? Yes. He's an hour away from here, but I drove all the way down there, drove all the way back because I liked the way he treated me. I would buy another car from this man and I'd send all my friends to him. Meanwhile, if you say, Steve, but wait, there's a Ford dealer. You can almost see it from your front yard. It's that, I mean, it's as a crow flies, about 3 miles away. There's a Ford dealer 3 miles away. I wouldn't go there. Why? Because of the one bad experience with the one salesman. And people say, but Steve, there's an explanation. I don't care. The same explanation you have for why that guy didn't want to sell me a new car, I can counter with the guy an hour away who wanted to sell me a car. I had a better experience there. I traveled for it. It was worth it. So right now, I've got me brand new Ford Explorer. It's out in my garage right now. Under 100 miles on the clock. I did walk around it and shoot some video of it. I tried shooting some video inside, but my mic was a little messed up. So I'm going to insert the video footage of the walk around in this video. And if you have any questions or comments, otherwise, put them below. And by the way, I'm purposely not advertising the dealership or these people by name. You know, I mentioned the guy's name is Paul. If you legitimately are in southeastern Michigan and you want to know the name of the dealer, email me. My information's at the end of the video. I'd be happy to tell you who the guy is. I just don't want this video to sound like I'm shilling for somebody. I'm not. I am just genuinely telling you I had a positive experience buying a new car. And that right there is a phrase I never thought I'd ever utter again. I had a positive experience buying a brand new car. Think about that. Let that sink in. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.